is Liz Booker with a literary aviatrix waypoint along our journey through stories featuring women in aviation. This one is from Season 2, Episode 20, in my interview with Keith O'Brien about his book, Fly Girls.
The world that the women lived in the 1920s and 30s, was a world in which the men were in charge and didn't even try to hide the fact that they were being sexist and misogynistic. They didn't even try to hide it. And in fact, they often embraced it and held it up as a badge of their own honor. And so to just write about the women would not place them in the world in which they existed. And you're right. It is the Florence story, among others, that so clearly shows that sexism that they faced, because the GB that Florence was flying that day was in the early 1930s, considered to be the fastest plane in America and also the hardest to fly. Jimmy Doolittle, the famous male aviator who flew the GB on a couple of occasions, said that flying the GB was like trying to balance the tip of an ice cream cone on the end of your finger. It was impossible. This was a very short and stubby plane, shaped like a bullet, with short wings and the cockpit all the way in the back near the tail. Incredibly powerful engine. And like all planes at that time, or most planes anyway, the greatest challenge to speed and to actually getting aloft was weight. And so this plane, like many others at the time, was built with the lightest of fabrics and materials. It was built out of spruce, out of wood, and then coated in a fabric, a linen, that was then sort of lacquered on to make it firm. So, you know, at times these planes could suffer puncture holes in their wings, any plane could, from hail and a storm and things like that, or just weather. At times, unbeknownst to the pilots, any plane built out of these materials could suffer a major malfunction, like a wing breaking off or falling off because the wood had rotted and no one knew. And so this plane faced all of those normal challenges and then others because it was so fast. And 2 years before Florence would crash in Chicago in a GB, a fearless man by the name of Lloyd Bales would crash in a GB. And he would do it trying to set the land speed record in Michigan. And, you know, at that time, he was trying to reach roughly 220, 225 miles an hour. And he was flying no more than 40 feet off the ground because they were trying to time him over a space of distance. And there's actually video footage that exists of this flight, this brief flight and its conclusion, because it was a big deal. The press was there to cover it. And Lloyd Bales is flying that flight, coming in fast. And as he does, the wing literally buckles in the sky and breaks apart. And because he's flying so fast and so low, he has no way to control it, and he goes straight down. And that day, with Bales and with other men who would crash, not just in the GB, but in their own air races, in their own planes, was heralded as a hero. He was trying to do right by aviation. And you know, the plane had failed him in the way planes did, and so he was heralded as a hero with a grand funeral and celebrations and memorials. And whenever a man crashed at the air races, and they often did, and when they did, they often died. They were also held up as heroes. Yet when Florence crashes in the same manner, under the same circumstances, in Chicago, 1933. The male aviation officials who have invited her to compete, who offered her an invitation because she was worthy of it, turned against her and actually blamed her for the crash, blamed her for the failure. And actually, to my shock, specifically blamed her physical state at the time of the crash. And to be perfectly blunt, Florence was on her period at that time. And it was actually written in to the aviation rules in 1933, the federal aviation rules, that a woman should not fly, operate an aircraft within 5 days of her period. And so they blame her for this because of her compromised state. And, you know, I'm obviously a man, and I want to say right here and right now, I don't know what it is like to be a woman. And I don't know specifically what it would have been like to be a woman in the 1930s. But I am married to a woman, and she is a feminist. And when I told her, my wife, Eva, that I had discovered this, and I was so stunned by this, she just shook her head and said, of course they did. She almost expected that they were that sexist in the 1930s.